And where we gather, we can leave at the door, we can leave the details of our day and our circumstance and we can leave at the door the outer layers of who we are. And we come into the shrine with our innocent self, still a shape, still a name, but we left at the door the outer layers. Probably that's why in some spiritual traditions, everybody wears white, everybody wears the same color as a symbol of unlayering the complexities, the colors, the layers of life and coming to something more basic and more pure. Often those colors are very pure. More pure, I mean, peaceful. And then here we are, here you are, here I am. Just resting in the shrine, not doing anything. Not getting busy with whatever is perceived moment by moment. Which means that you can fully allow the flow of experience moment by moment. And if you do get busy, that's allowed. So when I say not getting busy, you don't have to stop doing anything. You just, at some point, recognize that in the shrine, we recognize that our essential being is welcoming, is the allowing of experience moment by moment. So it's all good. We no longer have to pretend that we're somebody who can control and manipulate experience. The habit of controlling and manipulating experience may arise, but it's seen to be an experience. It's all good. That's what we recognize when we're in the shrine. It's all fine. It's all okay. No matter what. And it's always the case, but somehow when we gather like this, we can really recognize it, and we can, in a way, exercise that recognition. That every thought, every image in the mind, memory, every sensation, feeling, tension, breath, every sound, everything that arises, by definition, is allowed fully. And in that sense, all is well. All is meant to be. So just welcome your direct experience right this moment. Knowingly. In this knowledge that all is well. You don't have to label the experience as it arises. Since in the shrine, there's no longer a need to evaluate or judge anything. You already know the label. The label is 100% okay. And this doesn't mean in any way that what is experienced is transformed or spiritualized or rendered sweet and harmonious. No, no, no. It's more that whatever is experienced is not known by concepts. It's known directly. The sensation right this moment in your belly, in your shoulders, in your jaw, the breath, or the emotion that usually would have a reference in the past and a label or even a story attached to it. In this moment is known full stop, and known, and known, and known. Nothing is sought for in experience, you see. I am that which welcomes experience, and I know myself. I am in you. You know yourself right this moment. You know that you're nowhere to be found in experience, and that no experience could tell you who you are, what you are. Why? Because you give birth to all experience. You are prior to all experience, and you know it. I know it. I am. I am that I am. I am that which welcomes all experience. Closer than close. It's not an activity. It's something else. There's no name for it. This welcoming. There's no separation between the sound of Ellen's voice and I. You. Don't think too much. I know I'm talking a lot, but let the words resonate if they do, and not resonate if they don't. Don't worry. Taste okayness, the spaciousness. that surrounds the sound of this voice, that surrounds the feeling in the body, that surrounds the worry in the mind. See that the sound of Ellen's voice comes, unfolds, and dissolves, and you don't. And this must be true to every experience. Or rather, this must be true in the presence of every experience, in the unfolding of every experience, and in the dissolving of every experience. I am. Let this I am vibrate. It doesn't really vibrate in the sense that we would search for that vibration, but it's not a bad idea to feel it as a vibration to begin with. Better than to think of it as a concept. Feel it as a vibration, this I am. I am openness. I am limitlessness. Feel that. Be open to that. I am ever present. What vibration is that? It's like a sky vibration, peace vibration. How would openness vibrate and be felt? And then simply surrender whatever experience arises to this openness, this vibrational, limitless space. Like those films that take place in outer space where an astronaut. There's this one film where the astronaut kind of has to be in the void of outer space, and he's going to be there forever. It's not a very happy image in the film, but in this case, feel that with every experience, you let it out of the spaceship, and it's surrendered into this vastness. But the good news is you're the vastness. So the experience returns to its home. And of course, we become aware of how the habit of identifying and contracting as a body-mind we become familiar with how that works, because we are being invited to let go of that habit in this moment. And inevitably that reveals the pattern of conditioning. So be very patient and in a way interested as you witness the habit of the mind and the body ping-ponging with one another to reassert gravity, the gravity of me, the separate self. You see how it happens. You see where it's located as the body, behind the eyes or in the chest or in the shoulders. How it manifests as a feeling of fear or agitation or boredom. Or as a series of thoughts about what is being suggested and how is it possible and how do I do that and I don't understand, and all kinds of layers that reassert me, the limited, finite self. And don't do anything when these layers arise. Really welcome, taste, reassert your true identity, which is limitless, sky-like. And then everything is allowed, everything's fine. Everything can arise and do what it wants. Now feel the body, because I know that for most of us here, having followed this beginning of a meditation, possibly the body has been experienced now with its tensions, with its borders, with its density. Possibly it's saying, no, 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 I'm me, I'm the body, it's me, I'm the shell, I'm the envelope. I'm here. So we need to give this body attention. So just feel the body. Feel it the way you hear the sound of this voice, if you can. Feel that just as you don't live in and as the sound of this voice, you're open to the possibility that you don't live in and as the sensations of the body, whatever they may be. Feel rather that they live in you, just like the sound of this voice arises in you right this moment. It's your experience. Sound of this voice, the sensation of your shoulders. Equally arising in myself. Just be open to that possibility. The sound of Ellen's voice, the sensation behind the eyes, behind the forehead, arising in me. Feel this me that you are, really feel it. Let yourself really, really know yourself as this me, that which perceives. And then coming back to this experience that we call the body, just allow it to unravel, to unfold in the knowledge that it doesn't have to be me. So you just open all possibilities for the body. Don't do anything, don't manipulate anything, you just allow it, just feel the heat of the hands, the heat of the body, temperature. Feel the weight of the body, where the sits bones and hips rest, where they rest, feel the quality of the weight. Is it held? Is it released? Feel the touch of where the body meets what it meets, the texture. Is it dry, hot, cold, humid, porous, dense, hard, soft? Just feel. And those words, you know, don't stay with them too long. They're just invitations to wake the sensations up. It doesn't matter if it's this or that. What matters is that the body's allowed to flow in you. Feel the feet. Wherever they may be, it doesn't matter. Your feet are not down and your head up in this moment. Feet appear just in the same place as the sound of this voice, right at the center of me. Feel the soles and heels and toes, tips of the toes, tops of the feet. Let them sing, the feet. Linger there. Make sure you really taste the space all around the sensations of the feet, and now the hands, and now the face. There's this open space around everything, beckoning everything. Make sure you really know that. Feel the face, the sensations that we call the face, begin to feel attracted to the open space all around. But you don't have to do or push anything. You just evoke that. And then the eyes, the forehead, the lips, the cheeks, the nose, the chin, the ears, become something else. Feel inside the mouth, the teeth and the gum, the tongue. But you have no image. Don't let the image interfere, no concept. The tongue, the teeth, the gum. taste. Feel your jaw, the lower jaw. Weight, tension, what's it like? It doesn't matter. What we're doing is we're just walking around the body, liberating the body, liberating the bodily sensations. Then the body, when it hears the message of liberation, it knows what to do. So we don't have to do it and control anything, realign anything. It happens. But it takes time. Feel the weight of the body and how you hold it. Because you do. I know you do. Why? Because I do. And I know you and I, we're the same. More or less. But you and I are the same deeply as well. And that one is weightless. So feel that. Feel that I am weightless. I don't need to hold weight. And then walk around the body with your tactile sense and surrender the weight wherever it's held, if it wants, no obligation. Go to the hands and the wrists. Surrender the weight and the elbows and the arms and the shoulders. I don't live in the arms. Surrender the weight of the arms. And now the legs, feel the hips and thighs, where they sit, what they sit on. Offer. Give your body to the earth. The buttocks, the thighs, the lower legs, the feet. Go for it. Let the arms and the legs become more liquid. I don't live in the body. Then the body can pour itself back into me. Now feel the breath, because there's a holding in the breath, I know. Out of fear and out of control, out of protection of the separate one that I think and feel myself to be, I control the breath. I push it out, I pull it in, I anticipate it. I suspend it. Feel that, you know, really get acquainted with those innocent habits of separation. They are innocent. Now taste the breath fresh. Take a little tour of the breath. Feel first the air through the nostrils. On the in-breath, on the out-breath. And also then feel the belly. Innocently, don't look for anything. You're just tasting the in-breath. What does the belly do? Is it allowed or not? On the out-breath, what does it do? And on the in-breath again, what does it do? It's like a very, very subtle listening of the belly and the breath. And again. You don't do the breathing, you're just listening intently to the belly and to the breath. And you're listening to those places of contraction, of tension, of holding, really, really intently, without any desire. We're not doing this for any reason other than love. Love. Saying to the body, look, I'm here and you're welcome. Feel the throat. Just travel inside the throat with your tactile sense, as if you were going to sit inside the throat. And then listen to the pulsation, the quality, the color, the texture. See where it takes you. It might move upwards or downwards or expand or contract. It doesn't matter. Maybe an emotion rises out of the throat. Maybe not. And then move out for a bit to take a dip into outer space so that you don't get lost in experience. We're just, you know, we're listening to the body, but we don't want to reassert me, the body. So ever so often you move away from the body with your tactile sense and you take a swim in the open space. You move away from Ellen's voice and you take a swim in yourself. Feel the limitlessness, the borderlessness. The utter peace. And then you travel back to wherever the call is. Often we're called back to an area of tension or density or me, the body feeling. So let yourself be drawn back into the body, wherever it takes you. Knowing that wherever you're taken with your attention is a perception. It's not you. It feels like me. It feels like you. But we know it isn't true. And then we can make more space for it, whatever it may be, a feeling in the gut, a powerful energy, an emotion. You trust your own direction. Everything's fine, everything's okay, everything unravels organically. That's what we have to relearn somehow. That everything is taken charge of. So allow yourself to explore the part of your experience right this moment that feels like it's not okay, and I need to take charge. Not so much in your mind, but in your body. Go to that place that's kind of like a closed fist. There might be a few, so you pick one. And you just go sit by it with your tactile sense and you embrace it. With your tactile sense, you say, all is well. And then you let this feeling, this tension, this localization, this fear, taste the okayness that is all around it. And it doesn't have to go away, and it doesn't have to relax. It may take time, it may never happen, it doesn't matter, because you're already free. Now feel the totality of the body in its kind of singularity. Feel the whole body instead of feeling different layers or parts of the body. Feel the whole body. So you feel the head, you feel the arms, you feel the torso, pelvis, the legs, the feet, the hands. And then you kind of feel all of these different parts as one global sensation. Like you fuzzy up the borders between the parts with your finger, with your tactile finger. You blend it all together. You let the parts blend together. They want to. The hands, the feet, all the articulations of the body, all the sensations in the face, marrying each other, marrying all the other parts of the body. And then you also feel the border of the body, where it touches a chair, the cushion, the back, where it touches whatever it touches, the skin, where it touches the space beyond or the clothes. You might need to visualize the borders of the body, and then you feel them if you can. But then, because we kind of know that it's all made out of the same stuff, there isn't really a border between the body and the space or the earth. That's all imagination. So you bring your tactile finger and you fuzzy up the borders. Not just with your visual sense, feel it. No borders. Don't think it, just feel it. In one go, you say, no borders, and then you feel it. And if it doesn't work, that's interesting. There'll be a thought, no, 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 there are borders. Or there'll be a little feeling, nope. And that's perfect. Then you try again. You may want to add friendliness. Infinite friendliness, no borders. You might want to add that inner space and outer space are the same friendly space. Only one space. Me, friendly. So that means the body can open up its borders. Literally feel that the pores of the skin are relaxing. Relaxing, relaxing. The quality of openness is permeating everything. Go where it's not and try. Make sure you bring the friendliness. That's the main dissolving ingredient. Safety and friendliness, unconditional. Make sure you feel that your borders, not the body, because remember, we're not the body. The body's just an expression in us, made out of us. But you, your borders are non-existent. Really let yourself recognize that. Go look for your borders at the outer edges of your experience. See that whatever borders you will find are going to be mind stuff. They're going to be generated by a thought, or they will be a bodily sensation. But you could never ascertain the border of me presence. You could never ascertain that. So why not bank on the borderlessness of me until proven otherwise? Since our intuition confirms it. Since our feeling of peace and peace and peace, that's the only word that comes for the moment, confirms this borderlessness. And just very gently let the body move. But see if you can just let it move. Don't move it. Let movement arise only if it wants. Stillness may be the movement of the moment. Keep your eyes closed and then just see if the peace and the openness take a shape through the body, with the body, as the body. Or see if the body, with its layers of separation, would like to liberate itself through movement. It could be those two channels for the movement. It could be both. And you don't have to know what's what. Just let the body be moved if it wants. And to begin with, it happens slowly so that the doer, the mover, doesn't hijack the operation. You stay very close to your tactile sense and to the flow of energy in the body. There's no right or wrong. You start somewhere and you just follow the thread, the pathway. It's a bit of a not knowing. The mind will not like this, but that's perfect. The mind doesn't have to be involved. But the breath, the hair, the teeth, the palms, let them be involved. Let that intelligence unfold. The fingers, the sense of touch, the gestures. The body doesn't have to come back to being the usual body. Let it just be a flow of energy. No idea, no shape, no visual. Trust your hands and how they touch, whatever they touch. And also the sound, if the sound wants to come, and the breath. Feel the surrounding, friendly openness, really. Feel that that's what moves the body. And it pours itself into the body, into each articulation. Into the head area, the neck. The hips and the pelvis, the torso and the chest, the breasts, the armpits. You really allow the sensuality of the body takes a bit of time. Things start to wake up when we allow this body to be moved like this. The ingredients start to be sensed and tasted. All the textures of the body, the fingers and how they move, and the lips, how they touch the space, and there might be a quickening for some. Let it happen. Sometimes the body needs to express out what it's holding on to. That needs a bit of shaking, expressing outwardly. And it can change from moment to moment. There's no rules. It's not rational. It's innocent, childlike. You can stand up if you want and jump around and shake and gesture and let these bodies celebrate this open presence and this unconditional yes saying to whatever. Let your face go. Let the uncivilized aspects of the self, the little self, come out. All those feelings that get pushed down into the recesses of the muscles and cells, and let them out. And that you don't have to be spiritual in this moment. Never do you have to be spiritual. But let that possibility of the shady, shadowy layers that you hold in your belly and in your throat and in your heart, let them out in the movement. Let your fingers become claws if they need to. And your teeth become fangs if they have to. Why not? The intelligence of the body is divine. It doesn't speak in conceptual ways. And it doesn't have agenda other than the now, in the now. So the mind can go have a break. We're not going to be interpreting any of this. Yeah. You don't have to contain it as a separate self, because you contain all things effortlessly as the universal self. And even if there's difficult layers that surface, so-called trauma, trust that whatever will surface will be totally fine. And you don't have to focus on anything. Yes. Beautiful. Begin gently to draw the movement back towards stillness, but see how it wants to happen. Just take your stand as the stillness and then let the body find its way back. The spine, the head, the arms, the pelvis, the legs, the energy. Just how does it travel back to a place of balance and stillness? A place that's more quiet. You might feel the verticality of the spine, where it wants to be aligned. And feel how the arms want to hang, and the legs, and the hands and the feet, how they rest, but they don't stop touching whatever they touch. They rest and they expand. And the face can remain open. I don't have to take residence behind the eyes or behind the mask. I can let the face float, ready to come into action when we open our eyes soon, but encouraging the face not to lose contact with the peace all around. And the breath, feel the breath back. Where does it go back to rest? how does it go back to feel the movement of the breath permeating the whole body without any effort. And permeating also the space all around the body. And then feel yourself as this presence. Don't do anything. Feel that we're together in the shrine again, ready to open our eyes and play the game of our lives, our individual lives, with open hearts. When I say play the game, I don't mean to trivialize our lives or to suggest that they're not important or real even. But I guess I mean that they're not real in any individual way. Their reality emanates from the one reality that we share. But the game is that we do grant them individual reality, and as long as we know what's what, it's fine. As long as we know it's not the essential truth, then we play the game. It's divine. So when we're ready to open our eyes, take our positions, take your time. I have to see who's here. Hi, everyone. Hi, Stephen. Oh, Mark. Oh, sweet that you all came. Hi, Leslie. Hi, everyone. Hi. Oh, Coco. I can't say everybody's name, but really sweet to see everyone. Hi, Pamela. Wake up. So, friends, if anybody wants to, let's see how much time we have. About half an hour. If anybody wants to share or ask or sing or just wave, and I will unmute you. Rachel, you want to say something? Yeah. You're on.
Thank you. I just was so moved at the very, very end that all through it, I was like, no, I'm a body. I've had these today, you know, like everything was all stacked. And as soon as you said the divine game, I just, you know, I could, and we go back into the world as a divine, as a, you know, we played the game and it's a divine game. Suddenly my body just let go. It's just amazing. Like, what is it about the word divine? So that was my report.
I know exactly what you mean about the power of words sometimes. It's amazing, actually. But, you know, if you start to realize, because they're pointers, you know, they're direct pointers. The word divine is... So So then you can do that for yourself. Anytime you feel that you're the body, just use the words that they're like little magic wands.
Yeah. And I love that. And I feel like my little students who I'm going to go teach, it's like they're in that same divine play. And we just together, we don't know, we don't have to be anywhere in our minds. I don't have to be any, it's such a beautiful concept. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, Rachel. Karen Palazzini. Hi there. Hi, Karen. Have you been before? Wait, unmute. Unmute. Ah, there we go.
Okay.
Have you been before, Karen? I think you have, right?
Yes, 2 weeks ago was my first time.
Yeah.
My question is, in regular sitting meditation, it's recommended that when you come maybe to a difficult point or something, you know, unusual, that you maybe this isn't the right word, but you press on, you remain with the meditation. I found sometimes with, I don't know if this is called yoga meditation, but with sometimes doing things with the body in meditation, I come to a place of nausea. And although I'm pretty good on the cushion, I mean, I won't get up at a difficult point because they don't come up often, and it's been suggested that I don't get up. So in a sitting meditation, I don't get up. But what I find with this nausea sometimes, I've only been doing yoga meditation maybe 10 months. I actually do find I sometimes stop it. And I don't know if, that's why I'm asking you, should I press on?
Well, it's interesting. I think you should press on. I don't think it's one or the other. Sometimes you don't have to press on, you know, it's pretty uncomfortable to have nausea, and you might want to, sometimes it can be an indication that there's a kind of contraction because the body's become too intently a focus. Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of signal like, relax. So, and maybe to move back the attention to a more global welcoming of not just the body, but the totality of your current experience. I find that for myself, that sometimes when I'm exploring the body a little bit too intently, the signal of that will be nausea or feeling like I might faint because I'm really a little bit too intently exploring the body. So I would press on, but perhaps relax back your attention to the totality of your experience away from just the body and see how that is. Come back to, or bring your attention back to awareness itself.
Yeah, which of course
is not an experience, but.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that, because I remember once now, I was just sitting in meditation and I had a feeling of nausea come up. And what I did somehow, you don't know how these things come to you, but I kind of opened up.
Yeah.
You know, and the nausea went away. I was actually in retreat at that point, so I didn't want to, you know, stop and get up and go to the bathroom or anything. But
nausea in this case, because it sounds like it comes up chronically, so you know it's not because you ate something. It is an expression. No. It's a subtle, it's a resistance on some level.
Yeah.
So you do want to press on, but you can experiment with different ways to, the message you want to give it is love, you know,
yeah.
Or okayness, or, and it may be that the nausea is a kind of it's a kind of intensity that needs to be reminded of the okayness. So you have to experiment. At another moment, it might be that you want to go more deeply into the nausea and take the word away, not even label it, and it will pass. See that it passes, because often we get intimidated by intensity. We think, oh, I need to back off and protect. No, that might not be the case. You can, this is just a little wave. It's just a little wave, nausea, okay, or feeling faint. But you just have to, and you are, experiment. In these yoga meditations, there's not one rational way.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Karen. Thank you. Varsha, I'm unmuting you. And then Kid 47. Okay, you're on, Varsha.
Can you hear me?
I think so. Go ahead.
Okay. First, I have to say,
you are amazing. Inside, outside, I just tell you, my heart is full of gratitude. So I got to say, your voice, the whole thing is so, there is transformation on the spot. And I love you are going back and forth from absolute awareness to again coming back to how we feel our body, something that we are perceiving as solidity, and how you are dissecting. I put this dissecting, being a medical person. It's not a good analogy, but you kind of really, really putting it where it belongs in terms of how the vibrations, how the molecules. It's just, I'm speechless. It's just beautiful. And thank you.
No question, Varsha?
Not right now. I'm just in that state.
Okay. So,
but next time when we meet, I will have tons of questions.
You don't have to. And remember, if it's a state, it's not it.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. It's
I know
what you mean.
Yeah. There is, I still struggle sometimes with when we have intense fear in the body. And in that moment, even though teaching, understanding says allow, give room, and yet there is this tendency, the habitual tendency, the error is kind of rationalizing.
Yes.
Something.
Yes.
And almost missing the opportunity to allowingness.
Well, the first step is to watch, you know, the rational, the habit of rationalization. It's a very deep habit, and then once you catch it, then you can come back down into the body, and you know, very simple. The first thing you do is you realize that you were conceptualizing and thinking your way out of this unpleasant feeling. That's already great, you know. But then next step, as you say, is facing the feeling.
It is an opportunity.
Sorry?
It is an opportunity. It is the moment, because
everything is an opportunity.
Opportunity, right. There we go. So, yes.
Thank you, Varsha.
You are right. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm trying to unmute you, Kit. I always do that. I click twice and then I re-mute you. Can you, there you go. Hi. I can't hear you.
Okay.
Now I can hear you.
Okay.
We can hear you.
Hello. Thank you so much, Ellen, for this.
What's your name?
Is it? Yes. So my name is Kyra.
Hi, Kyra.
Yes. Hello, everyone. I'm so grateful. For this, and I just want to say, echo what everyone else has already said. Ellen, thank you for the beauty of what you just gave us. I have a question, I think, that is similar to Karen's. When we have these intense feelings that surface up, you mentioned bringing attention to them, and I just want to understand, like, do you mean like focused attention, or is it more of a a sensing attention.
It's definitely a sensing attention. Okay. What was your first, what would you mean by focusing attention?
Like when we look at something, like you also said closer than close during the meditation. And sometimes I get confused of whether that means like try to find the sensation and then and stare it down, or is it a different process than that?
It is a different process, but I really understand that it sometimes can be misleading, or the direction might trigger a kind of focusing of attention towards a sensation. And sometimes we do, like when I take you on a kind of little tour of the body, we are kind of bringing attention here and there. And but ultimately, I hope, and it's not always easy to evoke that, but ultimately we want to feel that the attention is openness, is a kind of open attention, and that the body is felt like a kind of caress, or a kind of and it might be a very intense caress, but it's rippling through your open attention. But at times we are directing our attention, we're moving into, for example, the shoulders or the breath. We do first have to kind of move towards,
right,
and then kind of see what happens, feel what happens, and then reestablish that actually I am this borderless open space, and let the sensation then do what it does once it recognizes that. But all of these words kind of can trigger the mind as well. So it's your first time. So I think, have you experienced Rupert's yoga meditations, or are you completely new to this, or?
I've experienced a lot of Rupert's yoga meditations, and I've just downloaded some of yours and done them myself, but this is my first time with everyone.
Yeah. Well, you'll if you come back, I think hopefully you'll understand, you know, you'll taste it and understand the intelligence, hopefully will become evident, you know.
No, but
I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming. Mark and Emma Jane. Okay, first Mark. Hi, Mark.
Yeah. Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
Hi. So I noticed that there's, I think you once called it the headquarters, the place where we locate the I, or the me, is like, you know, seems so logical, right? Like close my eyes, and I open my eyes, and the world is out there. Close my eyes, so I must be behind my eyes. It's like the most sort of a given almost. Mm. And from being around the non-dual neighborhood for a few years, I know that that isn't true at all. Like I do, I really get it. But the tendency to go back to the headquarters is so ingrained, it's so strong, that I found that I did this once before during one of your meditations, I think. It was maybe a month and a half ago. I just like, without thinking it, just touched my chest. Like I just pressed on the center of my chest. And somehow that, like, it was almost like it summoned the energy down. Because I find that when the energy, when it moves into here, is when things start to happen. It's mm-hmm. almost mechanical. It's almost like, you know, we do this irrational thing and move through all of these beautiful poetic regions. But really, for me, it was like, boom, let it drop. Mm. So I guess my question, that's my observation. My question is that, I'm feeling the answer to my question coming already, but I'm still going to ask it. That permission slip for me to allow that to happen, it's about giving myself that, it seems to be like,
I mean, you know, when you explore the truth through higher reasoning, you have a line of higher reasoning, right? You go from am I aware, to the understanding with your mind. Well, here you're doing the same with your tactile sense. You're feeling the localization in the head, and then somehow your hand is taking is bringing your tactile sense to your heart area, and that is somehow in some very irrational way. Taking you closer to the now and to somehow it's taking you closer. Of course, you never are far. You're always closer than close to yourself, but it's taking the apparent separate self closer. It's so trust it 100%, Mark, especially because I could see that would be a lovely thing for Mark somehow. Yeah, I don't know why I say that, but you know.
Yeah.
The seat of feelings and the seat of the heart, and you're a very heart person, but you're also quite a mental guy. And
I'm not a natural mental guy. I just play one at non-dual retreats.
I didn't.
But okay. I really live in my heart and in my body.
Yes.
And I am also I'm a rebellious person, which makes this almost weirder because. There's something in me that's like not allowing this simple, I press here and it creates a kind of a magnetic thing and it lets the thing come down, but then it goes back up because it's like.
Yeah, but yeah. I also want to add, just don't become too fascinated. I mean, no, let yourself become fascinated by this, but at some point and you'll want to kind of not stay too fascinated with these kinds of explorations. But I think it's really important to allow these movements of energy and tactility. Very important too, because we have such a limited range. We're so limited. We think way too much and we have not explored the intelligence, the tactile intelligence, which is divine. You know, just as higher reasoning is.
What
I mean? This is higher sensing here that you're talking about. And yeah, go for it.
I know that there really is no center, right? Yeah. Ultimately, right? But I do feel like there is a luminous center that corresponds to the body, which is not here.
Yeah,
I feel like it's here. It's like because
I wouldn't want to debate on that because like in the systems that the very traditional.
Right. It's up here or something.
The chakras and the this and
that. Yeah. I don't mean
it that. But you're discovering something important. And
So
it's true that I am free of a center, I awareness, but there's a kind of map of the body, it has its divine alignment, and it has centers. They're not the centers of me, but they're centers.
Energetic centers.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So I'll just keep giving myself that permission slip.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Mark. Thank you. Emma Jane, still we? We. Hello.
Hi, Ellen. Hi, everybody. Can you hear okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you. I don't know the film that you referenced, Ellen, about the astronaut, if it was In Astra with Brad Pitt and Tommy Lee Jones.
I think it was, where he has to be out there on,
Yeah, that I broke into a cold sweat watching that film. At that moment when Brad Pitt has to let go of his father, and so Tommy Lee Jones just floats out into the void, and he's a scientist. There's no spiritual take on this.
Yes.
It touched, so when you evoked it in the meditation, I was right back there and there's a fight and flight and a lot of noisy in my body right now.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the, that empty void of the just the nothing and that thing that I feared so much as a child, and it's here, it's completely palpable. It's and then it left and we settled down into the I settled back down into the process
mm-hmm.
of the journey you took us on. But right afterwards, it's the noise, the strong nausea in the chest
yeah.
and a lot of adrenaline flowing.
Yeah.
just like when I watched the movie, I couldn't process that movie. It took weeks to leave my psyche.
Maybe evoking the image, because maybe some of us haven't watched the movie, so it didn't trigger, but that movie is, so because you saw it and it had triggered you when you watched it, me saying that probably, but that's perfect in a way. But the difference between the abyss from the point of view of the scientist, astronomer, and the borderlessness that we're evoking, which is saturated, permeated with friendliness and love and safety. You know, that's the main, that's the very important distinction.
Yes. I think
it is a very powerful, for the separate self, it can be, you know, the fear that you're feeling is, you know, it's a fear of letting go. It's very natural too. Let's not pretend, you know.
Yeah. And it feels such like a primordial fear. Like, I don't want to dramatize it, but it feels so. Yeah.
The thing is that you're very alive at the moment, Emma Jane, and you need your body, and you know you're not ready to completely let go into the borderlessness. Even though that is what you are, maybe that was a bit too powerful.
Yeah, because I was really back in that space with the characters in the film. You know, I can really relate to those characters rather than the, you know, the screen, to use one of Rupert's metaphors.
Yeah.
And I sometimes come to that place in meditation where I can feel the excitement, like, that comes with the almost letting go. You know, it's like the mystery that, like, it's that adrenaline that's just before the letting go, you know? And then it's just that limit, where it can slip into fear or into, I kind of know.
But just remember that whether it's adrenaline or peace, both experiences are already happening in outer space, because that's your ultimate nature, your sky-like nature, your borderless nature. But from the point of view of the separate self who thinks she has to let go into borderless open space, there's that feeling. But from the point of view of your true nature, which is already borderless space, adrenaline, ripples of this or that, it doesn't matter. Tom Jones or Brad Pitt, no preference.
Definite preference for Brad Pitt going on here. Thank you, Ellen.
You're welcome, Emma. Coco, you got something for us? Yay. Are you on? Hi, Corinne.
Hello, Ellen.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Thank you. That, again, I think I always say it, but there's just the invitation for the experience to experience the freshness of every touch, of every breath, of everything is just beautiful. And I really enjoy it so much. I've been having a little experiment that to see everything that happens during the day or night as something for me, not to me, as something I'm giving myself, not happening to me. Mm-hmm. And it's such a very interesting transformation, you know, that happens. It really is. I mean, hidden gifts and everything come up, you know, water leaking two nights in a row from the apartment above us, you know, what unfolds from that, and not manufacturing it. Like the real simple miracles that come, like miracles, that's a queer thing to say, but the gifts really, you know, finding things that needed to be found, that, you know, just stuff like that. So just that, but
bringing that out. And yeah. So I do have a poem, and it's beautiful. It's called Recipe for Falling in Love, and it's by a woman named Julia Furrenbacher, I think.
We're all ears to receive.
Me too. The truth is, if we slowed down and got close enough, we wouldn't be able to handle the beauty on this summer evening. Everywhere my eyes fall, another miracle stares back. Giant oaks spread out like gods, big-eared bunnies munching under open sky. Blackberries plump on the vine invite me to taste their almost sweet insides. As I round the corner, I lock eyes with three deer, all of us still and staring. With our eyes, we say, I love you. Winged ones I cannot see sing their end of the day lullaby. Each step lifts me higher until at last, breathing more deeply than I have in a long time. I see the whole wide sweeping tree-filled valley. And then I weep, for truly I cannot handle the beauty even from the distance. Then I would not make this up. A whole family of wild turkeys crosses the trail in front of me, each one pausing to wait for the next. All of this my heart gets to see, to feel, to memorize. With light now fading, I begin my long, slow walk home. Slow enough to notice golden grass bent in prayer. Slow enough to bend too, praying that I will never stop seeing. Praying that I will walk slow enough to fall in love again and again and again, even if it makes me weep, even if it feels too much to handle, praying that each step draws me close and closer still.
Beautiful. Thank you, Coco. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to unmute everybody. Thanks. Thank you, Coco, and everyone for coming and sharing and partaking. And,
thank you for that beauty, both of you.
Thank you. We all love you.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you so much for coming and for accommodating the changes and being so sweet. A lot of you sent messages. My dad, for some of you don't know, my dad passed away a week ago and we buried him yesterday and it was really a beautiful day. And, but very poignant times. And Corinne, you know, like this feeling, all these 2 weeks, it's been difficult at times. And, you know, family and... We all have families and we all know that, and then my poor mom, you know, she's lost her husband of 61 years. And anyway, I was really feeling the gift of being able to know what your poem and what you shared with us, of being able to be with, to taste, to receive every moment, even the waves of, no, mom. Anyway,
yes.
Thank you all for sharing this understanding. It's really, we're lucky. We're really lucky.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
No, you're welcome, Leslie.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Love you all.
Corinne.
Love you,
everyone. Thank you.
Welcome, Corinne.
Bye.
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 Hi, Megana. I don't think I know you, but hi and welcome and bye.
Hi, thank you so much.
Hi, Christine, Colleen, Annika,
Celine, I'm going to see you soon in France.
Bye, Corinne.
There's one, and I'm Friday morning for those who are on the right time zone. And Jung, if you want to book yourself in for next week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm giving all my little private messages. Bye.
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 Take care.
Bye.
Thank you, Coco. I'll be in touch.
Thank you. Merci, Ellen.
Ciao. Merci, Emma Jane. A bientôt.
A bientôt.
Thank you for coming. Tell me again, it's not Kid. What's your name?
Kyra.
Kyra. I'll try to remember because I'm really bad with remembering. Kyra.
No, I will be back.
Okay, come back.
Bye,
Patty, hi. Ben and Eyal. Samuel, and what's your friend's name?
Sue.
Hi. Oh, I knew that.
It's my mom.
I know. I kind of knew that too, but I forgot. And Jaya, hi. All right. And Anel, beautiful smile. And Adam, and Annika, and all right. Hika.
Hika.
And Len. And Anna. All right, bye-bye. And Debbie, I see you too.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.